Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together this morning. We acknowledge your presence here with us today. Lord, not just today, every day, because you are Emmanuel, God with us. And you want to minister to us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, enabling us to do things that we ourselves cannot do. But you can do all things. And those who believe in you can do according to what you enable them to do. And we acknowledge that and thank you for that. Open our mind and our heart today, Lord, to receive your word, to appropriate it for ourselves, and to be able, Lord, to experience your love and your abilities in our life. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. We have been talking about the New Covenant for some time. We have been looking at different aspects of the impact that the New Covenant should have on us. Going to focus especially on one aspect today that is very important and that has major implications for us, although it's not expanded many times in the Bible, but it's really there and should be enabled to open our mind and understand the way God wants to work with us. We have an advantage because we have the Holy Spirit inside us all the time. We don't need to go places to connect with God. He's there with us. We are his temple. It's not anymore in a special place. We are the special place, or we should be the special place if we allow him to be present to us. That means, you know, we had to be present to him. We had to learn to establish that connection. We had to learn to be aware of his presence, because that presence is what is going to guide us, is what is going to enable us to do things that are beyond our abilities. Praise the Lord. He's guiding us into all truth. And that's the critical things that we have to have. That means, you know, he's going to expose error, deception. He's going to help us to obey him. He's going to guide us to and encourage us to yield to his spirit. Okay? He's going to have an effect on us. Okay? Bringing us to confusion, to not knowing what's going on, not understanding, to a place of peace, a place in which the Spirit of God actually guides us. It's not, Christianity is not a philosophy, it's not a mental thing, okay? It's actually a presence of God inside us that make all the difference and releases the power that Jesus had when he was resurrected in us. The resurrection power is a supernatural power that is not connected to our physical abilities, goes far beyond that. And it's not an effort to have that. It's just a question of have established the connection and to keep that connection. Praise the Lord. We have to see, you know, we already see many of the aspects of the essential role of the Holy Spirit in our life. Okay? That's why it's an advantage. You know, nothing was like before Jesus was resurrected. We had to understand that, and we had to understand the privilege that we have in experiencing and be able to make that kind of a connection with him. You know, we cannot get just by logic. We cannot get just by studying it. You know, it's a question of a heart, things that has to take in place. It's not just logic, mental, or whatever, reasoning, or I think that's limited. The heart has to be involved in that. And that makes all the difference. That means, you know, that the heart is involved in the judgment that we have concerning things, the way we see things, the way we judge things. And that has to have changed. And the change that takes place there is because of a number of things that we are going to also see, in addition to what we already talked before. Okay. One of the things that the characteristics of God that we have to understand, that God is a God of order, not confusion. So when he comes in, he brings order in our life, or he should bring order in our life, if we are really connecting with him and not with other things. He should bring, you know, the ability of order means that things are not confusing, that they're not messed up, they're not, you know, things should get better in everything in our life. We have to become more stable because we are on solid ground and we are not on the fuzzy things that are around us. Praise the Lord. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, says clearly, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You see, one of the things that should be taking place inside us, there has to be a peace. Peace means, you know, not agitation. You're going to be in a place in which, you know, you are going to be settled, knowing, not running, not trying to get things. You know, you got what you need. I remember when I got saved, when I first met the Lord, what the first things I said, I realized too, you know, I was looking for the truth as a scientist, and I couldn't find it, because the more I knew, the more I had to know. I realized, you know, I got to the extreme of what you can learn from a physical world. I wasn't there. The more I knew, the more I needed to know, to try to figure out things. And I saw the people that were involved with me in doing those things, they were, just as confused as anybody else in the world, probably worse, many of them, because they were going after certain ideas that weren't right. And so was I. And I came to that conclusion that at that time, I was looking for the truth. Now I found it. I don't need to look anymore. That doesn't mean that I was perfect. That means simply that the fact was I knew the place of peace. I knew the place in which I could settle and stay and know that that, you know, was a place of safety and a place of help that I needed. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, peace is the opposite of confusion. God should produce peace inside us. And should, you know, help us to stay there and to get deeper into that. The thing is, the enemy always try to distort things and make things more confusing. And that's what he does. After the Lord comes in, you know, tries to expose us, produce things, get us off the tangent, distort things, and bring things like error and division that actually are not going to bring peace inside. When we move from peace to not peace, we know something, some thoughts, some ideas, some things that we are looking at are wrong. And we had to make some decisions. Hallelujah. Okay. And the thing is, you know, we have all the help that we need. Okay. The help is not in our logic, and the help is not in our abilities. The help is actually in connecting with the source of information that we need. Hallelujah. Okay. And we have to spend the time not running around, because it's not around that we are going to find the truth. Is in our heart, connecting with God, opening up Hallelujah. It's not following our desires, following, you know, the things that the promises of the world and everything else, that doesn't get us anywhere. Okay. Not following our flesh, which is really the things we have learned from the world. Okay. Praise the Lord. We have to recognize what's going on inside us and see what makes us get into confusion. We have to open up to discern spiritually what is going on, not according to our own thinking, because our thinking is limited. That's what brought us in that place. We have to realize that. And that's what the Holy Spirit job is, because that's what Jesus said. You know, He will guide you. He will teach you. He will help you. He is the helper. And you don't find that in the world. You have to find that within yourself. And if you look at the world to solve your problem, you're going to have more problems. Because just look around and see the way the world is going. Praise the Lord. See? The Holy Spirit, the major things He's going to do is mostly one thing. Not make you feel good, not make you feel excited, not all the stuff that may come, but it's not, that's just flesh, that's just you. One of the things He's going to do is to point you to the truth, to point you to the source. And the source is God. And you know, in John 16:14 says very clearly, He will glorify me. That's what Jesus was talking, saying there in the Last Supper. He will glorify Him and will take what is mine and declare it to you. You know, glorify me means, you know, this, you know, declaring something. The word is anagelo, which actually means to announce in detail, to show clearly, to make known to you. So He's going to, you know, not just be confusing, abstract, or, you know, tossing you around. He's going to stabilize, He's going to produce the peace inside you that makes the difference. If He doesn't produce peace, that means, you know, there is conflict there that you have to address. Hallelujah. Okay. And He's going to, you know, glorify Jesus, not you, not somebody, not some preachers, not some other people. Him. Because He is the source by which we are empowered and transformed. We need to connect with Him, because when we connect with Him and the Holy Spirit, that's what He's going to do. Enable us to connect with Jesus, understand the way He operated, understand the way He worked, understand what He was actually doing and what actually He was achieving, so that we can receive it ourselves. Because that was the plan of God for us. Okay? And so He was showing His way, His teaching, His work, the approach that He had, the understanding that He has, so that we may get it too. Okay? That's why, you know, one of the things that's going to show us, okay, in the previous verse of the one I was mentioning before, which is John 16:13, says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you unto all truth. You see, there were things I said that I was looking for the truth. Now I got it. I have the truth because I'm connected with Him. I don't know everything, but praise the Lord, I know what I had to look at, where I had to connect, where I can get it. Praise God. And He will speak not in His own authority. That means, you know, He won't come out with new things. Okay, but whatever He hears, whatever He said before, whatever He, you know, was made available, He will tell us, okay, and He will tell us the things that need to be changed in us. Hallelujah. And this is really what should be the work that should be taking place in us. Should be bringing more and more peace, more and more stability, more and more ability to stay firm, okay, in the place where God wants us to be. Will also enable us to, you know, in our journey that we had to take, the steps, you know, knowing, show us the, the things to come. The step we had to make is not going to, doesn't mean that you're going to have all this big revelation about what's going on in the world. You know, if you don't get what you need to hear for yourself, you're not going to get anything for the others. You're just fooling yourself. The idea here is that you have to really be able to connect with him so that you know what you have to do, because you are the one that God is going to reach and change. So if you try to do other things, you are just wasting your time if you first don't get clearly what God wants to do with you. Okay? He's not trying to give you glory. He's showing you him, that he's came for the purpose of you, your life, your existence, your connection with God. Okay? Empowering you to identify and resist temptation. Okay? You know, teaching you what to do, how to obey his direction. Okay? What to care about, what to value, what is the things that you have to be looking at and spending time doing. And he's not going to say something that is going to please your flesh, because your flesh wants to do other things. Praise the Lord. See, he guides you by revealing, it's called the spirit of truth. He guides you by revealing you the truth about things, not what necessarily you believe or not what other people say. And so, okay, what one of the results is going to do is that you are going to be transformed. You are going to be changed. You know, people don't like changes because they settle in the things and it's complicated, it's work. Well, this is no work. If it's work, that means you are doing it. The work is really to be stay connected, to avoid the stuff that influence you, that are negative, and that are going to separate for you and make you look at other things but what he wants. Praise the Lord. For, you know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, says something that is, you know, for in it, in this relationship, in this, you know, connection, you know, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what is going to happen, you know, in faith there is a question that you, you know, believe something that actually is the truth. Just believing something doesn't count. Faith is believing what God says. Faith is actually, you know, believing in God, because he is going to be the source of your decisions. Believing God is going to be the enabling you the ability to see what is right and what is wrong, you know, by having an attitude in your heart that is open to what? Open to his communication. And his communication is going to point to Jesus, not to other things, not to things. And it's going to change the way you value things. They change your values and changes even your desire. Because when generally what we desire is what we value most. When we value other things, we love other things, we are really missing the boat. Praise the Lord. And what means the just shall live by faith is not that I shall live by the things I want and believe and I trust that I'm going to get. That's garbage. That's not Christianity. That is New Age. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is the way the transformation takes place in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, you know, it's not just believing something. It's be able to see something. Okay? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Not your glory, but the glory of the Lord. And are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, not because we want it, it's because the Holy Spirit is doing on us, because we are not trying to do things for ourselves. We are trying to connect with the truth, and the truth has an effect on us and make us more and more like him. See, with unveiled face, that means, you know, and this is one has to see the implication with the Old Testament, but the really unveiled face, because, you know, the separation, the veil that was before the eyes in the Old Testament has been broken when Jesus died. And so even the veil in the temple was split from the top to the bottom, you know, and that means that God was not anymore in the temple, was out of the temple, was out there, was in us, if we let him be. If we take that position of actually opening up, trusting him with all our heart concerning ourselves and our decisions and our choices, according not to what we hear, not what the people necessarily people preach, not by things, but because the word are there in his God's word to direct us about what we should connecting with, what we should want, what we should be our desire, which are not the desires of the flesh, but our spiritual desire that God has demonstrated and shown in the world. Hallelujah. Okay. So we are transformed in his own image. It's not work. It's not because we are trying to quote scripture to be in a certain way and to prove that we are something. It's because our heart has opened up. And he came in and his power has transformed us. And there are a number of manifestations that we have been talking about. I'm going to expand especially on one that is critical. That should be, is basic, I would say, for all the other ones. And it is connecting us with all the other benefits. Praise the Lord. See, is that opening up of our heart to the truth, to his revelation, to his personality, his character. Okay, Jesus' character is going to be his image, is going to be impacting us, changing us more and more like him as we look at him, not ourselves, not our shortcomings, not our limitation, but his abilities, his truth. The truth sets us free, not our work. That doesn't mean that we don't have a part. The part is being open, listening, receiving, and accepting what God wants to do. That our flesh, quite likely, won't like it at all, because it interprets things the wrong way, according to the values of the world. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we had to learn to hear things on time that we rather shut off. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. In the day of trial of the will, in the wilderness. So this is what, see, they did not have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the benefit of being able to have this ongoing input into their thinking and into mostly their thinking, their ability to hear something. Okay? So he speaks to us. That's what God does. He speaks to us all the time. And you have some people come to me and say, oh, I don't hear anything. Well, unplug your ears. There are things evidently there that do the that are a plug inside there that block you from being able to hear. Okay? He speaks all the time because he cares about us. And he wants to connect with us, okay? Even more than we want to connect with him. You know, it means the things that, you know, we are doing a big effort to connect with God. You know, he's doing much stronger work trying to connect with us. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, you know, that was true for the children of Israel. Okay. It says, you know, when they were testing me, you know, sometimes children test the parents. So I see how much they can get. And they try to do that as much as possible until they know they can get anywhere, and so they end up coming along. But that's pretty normal. That is the normal reaction. That's the way the flesh works. And big people are just big children. There's not much difference. We just remain the same way in many different ways. We had to recognize that and learn to grow up, the way these people say. Okay, so what was talking about that is not talking about really, okay, going about rules and regulations and stuff like that. You know, following rules and regulations is not going to get anywhere because it's just telling you what to do without actually changing you inside. It's the change inside that makes the difference. And so you had to go beyond that. The law doesn't save anybody. The law doesn't set anybody free. But listening to what God is telling you now in your heart and be willing to follow that up, trusting him, is what makes the difference. And what's going to enable to, you know, see the difference in your life, okay? We should know better today because we have the Holy Spirit if we have taken that first step. And that first step is critical, but doesn't do the whole thing. That's just the beginning. And then there is our continuation of the process that is necessary, okay? But this is what that step at the beginning, that yielding, that accepting, you know, to operate in this new way is when what means to be born of God. Not according to the flesh, okay, but according to the Spirit of God, responding to what he has done and Jesus has done for us, okay? Jesus came, thought, died, and was resurrected for us. That is the condition in which we can come in. And this is the new covenant that was established for us. And the old result of the New Testament that are completely different from the Old Testament because they didn't have that advantage. Okay. And Jesus didn't leave us the same. He made able to, for us as we take the step of faith, to trust God, to be transformed, to be empowered, okay? The old covenants wasn't transformational, none of them. But actually, the process was already taking place. Each new covenant that was in the Old Testament was established, involved a specific breakthrough in one specific area of our life that had to be follow to be able to connect with God. First one, that is, you know, initially was the covenant of obedience with Abel, but, you know, that wasn't enough. That was just because they were following, but there had to be understanding about that. Abraham came after, and, you know, there is where he understood, you know, it was pretty messed up. People don't like somebody say that but actually there are many things that he had to learn. That's why it took such a long time. But he learned one thing. He had to trust God. That means that's what he did. He learned to walk by faith. God communicating with him and he responding. But that wasn't enough. That's just one of the aspects. The other one is, you know, more than just responding. You know, when the covenant with Jacob was a big, major step. That happened when Jacob's ribs was broken. And that means that from that moment on, he learned to walk with God, learned to walk according to God's way instead of his way. And then I continue with but that wasn't even enough because they weren't having a, I'm going beyond what I wanted to talk about today, but this is important to understand the essence and the content of the different covenant, how they actually are. There are not many covenant. It's always the same contact and relationship with God. They were just accumulating to prepare for us to understand what the new covenant was including, that include all the different learning that they did in the previous ones. All those things that were there had to be actually manifested in the last one to be able to work. You cannot walk your way. Okay? Obedience was at the beginning. Okay, with Abel and Cain and Abel, but they didn't understand. They were just connected to that tradition and connected to that teaching. They went around all. But, it doesn't happen like that. Not many did. I'm not going to go too much into this because what I want to focus on today is something that is specific for the new covenant that wasn't there at all before. Praise the Lord. Maybe sometime I'm going to talk about all the covenant in detail. It's important to understand the difference that we can experience today. And that's why, Jesus didn't leave us orphan. He provided the helper for us to go through the process. Okay? And, Romans 8:14 is just nothing else than the result of the covenant that Jacob had that was transformed into Israel. Okay? It says, therefore, as many, Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see? This is our relationship with God, our connection with Him, is depending on the way we walk. If we walk our way, if we walk according to the flesh, is death, the Romans says. But if we walk according to the Spirit, and we're talking about the Spirit, he's talking about listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying us because he's inside us, guiding us, that is life, and then we are sons. Otherwise, we aren't. Because we walk like heathens. And if you see the statistics of today's church, it's not very different from the one of the world. That shows that how many are actually walking, how many are real sons. I really question. They think because they read some book and some theology stuff, but theology is mental. Christianity is spiritual. Has to do with what happens at your heart level, not your mind level. You can agree with something mentally that doesn't have any impact whatsoever on your choices, on your judgments, on your values, on what you love. It's impossible to love God with all your heart for somebody walking in the flesh. Amen. Yeah. Only when you start walking in the Spirit, you are going to start loving God. Because you put them, loving God doesn't mean you are there marching around, trying to be emotional about God. Although that's going to happen too. He's telling about actually that he's value higher up than everybody, anything else, and you are there submitted to that value, guided by that value in your judgment. If that doesn't happen, as there is, shows that there is a real problem, and really do you don't have a relationship with him. Because the relationship we have with us is really a relationship of love, and that means of value, of connection, of you care. What's happening there? Praise the Lord. So, in continuing here on Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, I mean, they couldn't hear then, but actually, you know, this is explained in the New Testament so that we should be able to connect. You know, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. You see, rebellion is really to break up that relationship. Not listening what God is saying. Rejecting what Jesus has done. That's what rebellion is. Okay? And so that what that result of that, as we have seen, different response to the Holy Spirit, rejection brings a hardening of heart. That means a hardening of heart, our heart becomes hard and difficult and wants to do the own thing, stubborn to do about following the things he wants to do, and is what he wants to do is not what God wants. You can be calling yourself whatever you want, doesn't make any difference. You can have gone through any experience you want, but if it's not happening today, doesn't make any difference. Praise the Lord. Or ouch, whatever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that. As many as are, you know, led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When it talks about being born of God, that means become sons of God, and that means actually having that decision that you're going to follow him no matter what, no matter if your desire to take you in a different direction, because you are going to crucify them. Praise the Lord. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 12, talk about, I mean, these are all scriptures that are pretty common, but they have to be connected together to really understand. And all everything, every understanding, you know, just you can take one scripture in isolation and think that you got something, you know, that's to be connected with all the other scriptures. People think logically and, you know, follow a certain path, excludes many others, and they think they can understand, you know. That's not the way to have spiritual understanding. I was left-handed when I was born. And left-handed means that your brain works differently. See, my right brain is the part that is stronger in me. And that means I don't think linearly. And that produces some problems. But because of that, I don't get caught up into something and then I don't realize, because I always connect everything together. It's more difficult to walk, but once you got it, once you operate that way normally, then you see things completely differently. That's why often I say things are completely different to anybody else. Okay. I did it in science too, so not surprising. Now, here it says very clearly, John 1:12. You know, these are basic scripture, but if you connect them with all the other scripture in the Bible, you're going to get a better understanding, and you're going to understand the way these things work, not just at a level, but according to the whole picture, because that's what counts. You know, and this says, you know, for as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. So just take first of all the as many as received him. The word received there is not really good. The word is lambano in Greek, which actually means take to use. You are not just exposed to an idea, oh, that sounds good. No, you are given some information and you are going to use that information because it's going to make a difference for you. It's important. Okay, so there is this Lambano of, you know, about him. Okay, it gave him the right to become the children of God. The right to, I don't like it because it's exousia, the word there. Exousia means not just the right, means the power, the mental and physical ability to do something. What the power to give? The power to choose. You got the ability to choose to become son of God. It's not that it's given to you automatically. There are lots of decisions it's going to involve for you to stay and maintain the position of a son of God. It's not a question of saying a prayer one day and boom, everything is changed. Doesn't happen that way. You open the door. You starting to be able to see what the kingdom of God is like. You enter in like somebody going to a new place and doesn't know anything about it. And has to learn about it, otherwise doesn't even know where he's going and what is coming. But there is a first step. The fact that there is an opening of door. Now you have to keep your door open so that the Holy Spirit can continue to communicate with you, and is going to do it not giving you any ideas that come to your mind, is by giving you, is connecting what the Word says with the way Jesus operated, because he is our teacher. Okay. He glorified him, the way I read before. Not us, not our ideas, not our preferences. Praise the Lord. So we give us the ability to choose what we choose. To believe, you know, and the one is believing in his name. The word there is pisteuo, which actually means to be persuaded, to trust in what he came to achieve, understanding it. So there is an important thing. You know, and then goes on to be born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. She's talking, oh, this is what he's talking about, being born of God. That means becoming a son of God or a child of God. That changes everything for us. But we had to be there in that connection. We had to be there allowing, you know, walking that way. Deciding things according to that principle. According to deciding how? The way Jesus walked. That's the way it is. You see in him, he is glorified in all process. He is lifted up. He sees the way he functions. You know, well, the way he functions. In myself, I can do nothing. I only do what I see the Father doing. I don't want anything. You know, I just, my choices, my judgments, the heart choices, okay, are God's judgment. What is written in the Word. If you don't walk that way, you can have all the theological idea that you want, all the teaching that you want. You are not walking as a son of God or as a child of God. God cannot get you, cannot talk to you, cannot do anything because you do your own thing. The way you respond makes all the difference, the way the Holy Spirit, on what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. This is not a religion. This is a living relationship with the living God, who knows you better than you know yourself, because you are blind and in many things, you know, all the time, not just at the beginning. You know, we just tell a mile to go, many miles to go. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, now, the thing I want really to talk, the objective I'm going to, is actually what the scripture I'm quoting now. See, this Son of God idea involves one major element, okay, a son, child, child, son relationship that is based on not the law, not all the rules and regulation and what people say and everything else, but on love. God loving you and you loving back God. That the element that is going, not following a certain things in your logic and your thing, but actually following the Holy Spirit walking, talking, and directing you moment by moment so that you become sensitive. Say, well, you know, what about if I make a mistake? Well, you are going to make millions of mistakes. That's not the issue. The issue is when you make a mistake, you're going to know it. Because your judgment are not going to be matching up with his judgment, and so you are going to feel there is something, that there is a conflict, there is not the peace that I was talking at the beginning. See, the peace in our heart is not because we convince ourselves, it's because we brainwash ourselves, it's not because, you know, it's a mental exercise we do, it's because of the heart that is being opened and stays open. And that, you know, the staying over is so important, you know, it's mentioned in the Bible, and this is why, you know, people, once saved, always saved, is nonsense. Because if you start doing some wrong thing, it's because you have been listening or connecting with the wrong thing, and your value system is changing. It's not in one shot. You know, it's not one mistake messes up the whole thing, because that was in the way it was in the old covenant. It's not in the new covenant. The new covenant is a relationship, a love relationship. We can make mistakes because we can get distracted. We can get, you know, deceived because the enemy is there trying to do it. Just look around. That is specialty, okay? And something sounds really good. It comes as an angel of light, so that you see, oh, you know, I'm really doing something good there in following some false teacher, and get off a tangent. And then you realize yourself you are down the dump, and you wonder why. And you get confused. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's that you got distracted from actually the essential element, which is was hoping to listen, and you didn't apply. You got distraction is the thing. You did not apply the thing, the direction that you were getting concerning the situation you were in, because you got your attention got caught there. God knows that better than you do. We're trying to get you, shaking you and everything else, but doesn't get anywhere because you are so interested. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know if praise the Lord about that, but, you know, the idea is, you know, too bad, but that's what happens. Okay? Okay. If you are open that way, and you become a son, you are going to be, and you are in reality a son, you are going to feel like a son inside yourself. And this is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage against to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. What is telling you, this is such an important message for us. Okay. If we are son, we are going to feel like sons toward the Father. If you are not feeling like son, your heart is fixed, need to be fixed. You are not open to what the Spirit has achieved through what Jesus has done. You are missing the connection between you and the Father, because you are not connecting properly with what Jesus has done. That's important. You know, we are going around all the religiosity, all the legalism, all the other things that you want. We are going down to the point of what's going on in your heart. Your heart determines everything in your relationship. Are you following me? And here says, you know, if, okay, this we have not received, if we are born of God, if we are connected, not according to the flesh, not according to religious idea, not according to what people want, not according to what you want, but you are according to what God wants, you are going, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you and is going to bring you to God with one specific spirit. His work is going to produce you sonship. In your sonship. That means a relationship with God in which you feel with God, the relationship with God, going to him like a little child and says, Daddy, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you're around. I'm so glad that you got connected with me, that you are there for me. See, that's the natural. It's not effort. It's not work. It's nothing. You know, it's just that, it's the Holy Spirit that brings it up about. It's not you. It's not because of emotional things. Yeah, no, this is a spiritual thing that took place inside you, that your heart now is open. And because your heart is open, then you can automatically feel in that way toward God, because nothing is in the way. See, if something is in the way, then you are not going to feel that way, because these other things block the love that used to be feeling for you. He doesn't, you know, God loves you. God loves the sinners. But doesn't mean that the sinners love God. Doesn't matter whatever you want to call you. If you don't love God, you are not going to be able to even get close to satisfying the first commandment. Because that's the only way to be able to do. You have to love God to do it. Love God, that's what the requirement is. You know, and it's something that you can decide to do it in your own strength. No, but you can decide to actually accept what Jesus has done, connect with what he has done, relate to what, the result should be. Start opening up, seeing the way God loves you, but through Jesus and in Jesus and through his explanation, his ministry, everything. That is what is going to make that spirit of adoption be manifested in you, according to which you're going to say, Abba, Father, Daddy, I like to be connected with you. I like to be receiving from you. I like to be obeying you, even if you don't always do the things the way I want them. I mean, little children, when the parents tell them to do things that they don't like, sometimes they say very bad things with the parents. Okay? Because their feelings are not going along with that. And they do that often unless they are trained to be obedient. And that's the way it should be with us too. Unless we are properly disciplined to be obedient to the Father, understanding the spiritual implications and component of this relationship, then we are going to be like the bratty children that want to do their own thing, and we are going to get in trouble in our relationship, and anything can happen. That's the way backsliding takes place. And that, what it does, that's rebellion, and that hardens our heart. And that makes more difficult for us actually to get to the place to say, Abba, Father. And it's not God's problem. It's our fault, and we have produced that for ourselves. And we have to do something to overcome. That's why it's more difficult for people that backslide to be able to come to the place in which they can reach, actually say, Abba, Father. You know, we have to deal with what the world says concerning these things. Okay, but when we, you see, we are all at different places in this, of this level of loving God. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, in John chapter 16, verse 26, you know, 16 and 17, you know, in the book of John, this was the Last Supper, and Jesus was explaining everything about this new revelation, the revelation of this new relationship with the Father. Okay. Here, I'm not taking the whole thing. One could just do a study on those chapters and learn a lot. But, you know, in isolation, they're not enough. You have to read many other places to be able to understand. There it says, John 16, 26, in that day, you shall ask in my name, you know, we're asking my name, and I do not say that I will, shall pray the Father for you. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want to pray, you know, because there is no need for him to do that. For the Father himself loves you. Why? Because you have loved me and may believe that I came from God. So the idea is, you know, God loves us, okay? But now, you know, because we have loved Jesus, God the Father is going to respond to us because Jesus is the one that connects us with the Father. He is the one that enables us. This is not a theological statement or, you know, it's actually experiential reality, the result from a change of heart that took place when we fully appreciate what Jesus has done. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Okay. This is a chain of event taking place here. First, the Father loved us. He sent Jesus to die for us. And realizing all the implication that that has on all different levels, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, everything else, processing those things properly. Okay. Jesus loved us and chose, he came, you know, on earth, loved us and chose to die for you, personally. Okay. As a result of that, you have to respond properly to that. And that means, you know, if he dies for me, I'm dying for you. I mean, my flesh has to die for you. If you don't kill your flesh because Jesus died for you, you are not responding to what he has done for you. You are doing your own thing and you want to benefit from what he has done. Are you following what I'm saying? See, there has to be a proportional relationship in this that has to be compared, you know, to produce spiritual result, there has to be a spiritual component that match the two things together. Okay? Releases the power of God of what Jesus has done for you because you respond to him according to what you should. And God knows exactly well. You don't know, but God knows what you are responding to. Okay? So, we love him because he first loved us. And these are old scripture. I'm not going to read them all because it would be far too long. Okay. Jesus showed us the love of the Father by the teaching he does, by what he did, by his own commitment to him. And so he shows us, you know, the way we respond to the love of the Father. Okay? So, as a result of that, we come because we open up to what he has done and we are responding. We actually end up receiving the spirit of adoption that makes us say, Abba, Father, that we are grateful. Because, and it's not our work, it's not our effort, and it's not our thing. It's the God's power, his work, the resurrection power that Jesus as released for us is received by you by aligning yourself with what he has done, by believing what he has done, and by, you know, responding properly from the heart. You see, there is a series of things connected together that is not your work. Is responding to all the things that God has done. Okay. You love the Father, and you are starting to, you are in a new family. Okay? God's family. The other one that respond like you, you know, they are going to love it the same. Okay, and the more that they have experienced that relationship, the more they are going to love the Father, and the more they're going to love brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, there is a warning to us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there is in you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God." You see, unbelief is where the problem is. Unbelief means, you know, that you don't believe, you don't understand, you don't respond, you cannot respond to what Jesus has done. What you do is you keep your own thing instead of really responding to what he has done. Unbelief shows, okay, from what? You know, the fact that you don't love him, that you don't trust God. You see, love or trust is the same thing. So if you don't trust God, you don't give himself to him, you don't accept the fact that you had to respond and depend on him and be able, willing to obey him, that unbelief, what it does, make you depart from the living God. Make you, what does it mean? That you end up making choices for other things that attract you than the attraction and the love that you have for God. Simple as that. See, there is, the whole thing is logical, but logic is not just the only thing that guides us. To be all the different scriptures that are combined together, they give us all the different aspects of this relationship that should be with us, between us and God. Okay. It says there, not all things are of God, who has reconciled himself to us through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, the ministry of reconciliation is not, we don't have a ministry of reconciliation if you are not properly reconciled. Give a bit of thought about that. Because you are going to, you don't know really the relationship, you don't have the relationship with God the way it is. You cannot produce that in others unless you have enough understanding to explain to them, because they don't know it just as much as you do. The only thing they do is they may have a religious reaction to something that you communicate, because what you're doing, communicating, is religion. Philosophical ideas about what to do without the power to do it. That's why Christianity is not, doesn't go by the law. It's not by just knowing the law that you're going to be able to do it. That's why Jesus had to come. Amen. That's the basis for why Jesus had to come. Okay, you can have the information, but with just that information, you're going to mess it up, because you're going to be never getting anywhere, because there is no spiritual result. It's going to be just trying to work hard, failing all the time, and getting the wrong things. No stability, more confusion, more conflict, more disappointments, expecting God to work in a certain way, and he's not going to work. So, you know, God is lying to you. No, it's you didn't understand what you're doing. He has given us the spirit of adoption. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's what the job of the Holy Spirit should do. If we really are following the Holy Spirit and not man's ideas, if you follow man's ideas without revelation, you are not going to love God. Period. But if you really connect with the Holy Spirit in a personal way, he's going to straighten you up. He's going to make you see stuff that you say, oh, you know, I'm thinking I'm doing so good here, you know, because I'm doing these things, but you working, that's not the Holy Spirit. It's not work to produce the result of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. You are transformed into His image. That means in His character, you know, by just the fact that you are connecting with Him and you are responding to Him properly. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, the spirit of reconciliation is not to try to spread the religion. The spirit of reconciliation is that we share with others, because we, you know, the following verse, you know, Hebrews 3:13 says very clearly, but exhort one another daily while today, you know, what is called today, lest any of you is hardened through a deceitful sin. So you see, that's the problem. That's why this is common. This is the normal, the way it works all the time. We are all tempted. We are not perfect. We are dealing with all the issues inside ourselves, and we have to do prevent that the enemy has an upper hand over us. People that think, I made it, they fall all the time because that's pride. Okay. You have to be awake, you have to be on guard, and you have to realize when you believe junk, because it's going to take you in a direction that is going to make you have no love for God. That means His value is not going to be up, it's going to be below all the other things you want. Praise the Lord. You know, the following verse there says very clearly, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The holding the steadfast or the confidence that we have to the end happens only when we really have the love of God empowering us to overcome. When really feel, even emotionally, no, Abba, Father, I love you. You know, today, well, I had a rotten day, but praise the Lord, you are there and you are strengthening me and you are helping me. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world, I'm trusting you. That's the bottom line. Praise the Lord. I'll keep going, but I think I had to close because there are celebrations for the mother things. Praise the Lord. I think that I was able to cover enough for the thing. I got to the point where I, you know, the key message for today is here, you know, the, you know, having, okay, the spirit of adoption that enables us to say, Abba, Father. Do you have that adoption? Do you want it? Well, there are things that you can do. I can never get to the end to say all the things you have to do, because there are many things that you have to do. Okay? And they're not complicated. They're not difficult. It's not, you know, it's just a question of understanding some general principle that help you guide, walk practically according to the Spirit of God. But the first thing is that you want to want that relationship with Jesus to be fully understood in your heart and responding to that so that you can have that relationship with the Father. And you have to look at your relationship with Jesus and with the Father to adjust, make any adjustment when things don't happen the way the word says. Not blaming God, but blaming yourself. You are responsible. This is what God expects us. God expects our part in the whole process that He prepared for us. That's the only thing He expects of us. He did the whole job, but we had to respond properly. And so the first thing we had to do, Lord, help me to see the things that I should do so that, you know, are not going to be They are not works to get approved. It's work to put myself in the position to receive. And so we're going to pray about that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Father, thank you for everything that you have done for me. I open my heart to what you have done. Help me to receive revelation and understanding of what Jesus did, how he operated, what should be the result in my life, so that I may experience just in reality, not just theologically, in reality, Lord, the sonship that you want to establish in me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and patience that are much more than my patience. Help me to be open, to receive, to hear, and to obey. And I thank you in advance because I decide to trust you, not myself. To depend on you, not my abilities. To receive from your word and the truth that you reveal to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.